Some of you may know that the church is doing the St. Augustine's Great Big Summer Read, where we've encouraged people in the church to read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. It's a fantastic book. It's not too late to join in if you would like to, and there'll be some things happening in the autumn where we'll get a chance to meet together and discuss it. So if you'd like to join in later in the year with all the discussions and the ideas and just see what it's all about, then that's the perfect opportunity.
Can I also just say that we are looking at the possibility of a confirmation service on possibly the 6th of October. Details are still being worked out. If you've never been confirmed and would like to be confirmed, I'd love to chat to you, and we'll see if we can pull things together. Actually, it will be in my last few weeks here, and it would be lovely to be able to do those confirmations before Lois and I leave. Also, can I say that we're still planning for a new Alpha course here in September, and if you know of people that would like to come on Alpha, please do invite them. If you've never done an Alpha course and you want to explore the big claims of Christianity and ask some of those big questions, is there more to life than this? Or maybe if there is a God, well, why does such bad stuff happen? All those big questions of life, we would love to help you explore them, and Alpha is a perfect way of doing that. We come in this place this morning to worship you. We wait for your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you are everything that you've promised, that your faithfulness is true. We thank you for your promise to be with us when we worship, when we come together. So we invite you now by your Holy Spirit to make yourself known among us as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's gospel is from Mark chapter 5, verses 24 to 34. And it's taken from the New International Version. You can follow another version in the Pew Bibles. Won't be quite the same words, but it will mean exactly the same thing. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. A large crowd followed Jesus and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So who is this woman? Well, she's something of a woman of mystery. Unfortunately, like quite a lot of women in the Bible, we don't even get the privilege of finding out her name. In fact, all we really know about her is that she was desperate. She'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and this would have had a massive impact on her life. In Jewish law, menstruating women were classed as unclean until their bleeding had stopped for 7 days. As a woman constantly bleeding, she would have been an outcast, forbidden from worshipping in the temple, unable even to be in contact with others, as she would make them unclean as well. Her life was one of social and religious isolation. And that's why her actions that day when she encountered Jesus are just astonishing. This woman is a total rebel. Instead of hiding away and abiding by the rules that are biased against her for something that isn't even in her control, she's out amongst the people, daring to stretch out an unclean hand for a chance of a better life. And her faith is absolutely extraordinary. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some days of the week when my faith is fantastic and pretty strong, and then there's other days of the week when it really isn't. And usually they're the times in my life where things are going a little bit wrong or life seems a bit unfair. And at that moment, those moments in my life, I have the support of my church family to encourage me, to keep me holding on. But here we have a woman who's been suffering for 12 years. A woman who's been taken advantage of by doctors who should have helped her, who were all too pleased to take her money from her, but then offered no cure. And at a time when she may start to wonder if God was there, and if he was there, did he care about her at all? Well, that's the time that her religious leaders tell her that God views her as unclean, that she's not clean in God's sight, she's not worthy to come to the temple, and actually, please stay away from everyone else too, because you're going to make us unclean just by being with us. And yet, despite that rejection, and despite her circumstances, she can look at Jesus and know for sure that if she can just touch the edge of his clothes, she will be healed. So what can we learn from this remarkable woman? Well, if I was only allowed one sentence to describe what I thought was at the heart of this encounter with Jesus, it would be this. Following Jesus is more important than following the rules. I suspect that to a large number of people, Christianity can look a lot like a group of people trying to be good and follow some rules. And today, really, I want to say sorry if that's the impression that we've given, because it will be an impression that the church has given, that we're trying to be good and follow the rules, because there is nothing really in the New Testament of the Bible, the part that tells us about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that would give us that view. Because the life of Jesus is packed full of stories of radical action and rebellion. Sometimes the rule-breaking action comes from people like the woman in our story, but often it comes from Jesus himself. And this story is no exception. This woman was healed. She knew it, and Jesus knew it. And that could have been the end of the story. In fact, that would be the safe place to end the story. She's been healed, Jesus knew she had, everything's fine. It would have been a safe place to end the story because the woman could actually have got in a lot of trouble for doing what she did. Her act of rebellion was brave, but it was also secretive. She had no intention of being noticed. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. He called her out. He wouldn't budge, despite the disciples getting, if we're being honest, a little bit sarcastic about the whole thing. And I believe there's two reasons for that. The first reason has everything to do with the woman herself. There are many ways that we can end up suffering, and we're being naive if we think that the only pain the woman was in came from her physical condition. Being rejected is, I believe, one of the most painful things that humans can experience. And the sort of healing that Jesus offered in every one of his encounters always went so much further than physical healing. In fact, in some cases, the physical healing almost comes across as secondary in Jesus' eyes. Because here, we've got the one person who truly knows what complete union with God is like. He knows better than anyone the love that God the Father has for all humanity. He knows because it's his love too. And that love is always Jesus' priority. So he says to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Daughter, what a powerful word to use. It's the language of acceptance. Jesus creating a link, a connection between himself and the woman. The woman who's faced a life of rejection so far. Your faith has healed you. Your religious leaders may reject you, but I see you, and I see your faith, and I honour you for it. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now, the Greek word that was used when this story was originally written down was the word hugies. Now, the version of the Bible that we heard from today interpreted that word as freed, be freed from your suffering. But perhaps a more accurate interpretation of the word is sound, not as in something that you hear, but the sort of word you might use to reassure somebody about someone else's character. Oh yeah, they're sound, you can trust them. They're not a weak link, they won't let you down. The freedom from suffering that Jesus wanted this woman to have was something complete and total, from the physical to the emotional to the spiritual. Trustworthy, sound through and through. The second reason that I believe Jesus had for calling the woman out and saying what he said to her was to use the situation as a learning opportunity for his disciples and for those following him, but also for any Pharisees, any Jewish religious leaders who may have been listening. Jesus takes the woman's act of rebellion against religious rules that were unjust, and he praises her for it. It's a message to all who witness or hear about this man, that this man who claims to be the Son of God is concerned with justice, with love, and with compassion. It's a message that says if your religious rules and proper way of doing things puts blocks in front of people coming to God, well, then you're not doing it right. So what does it mean for us today? Following rules looks pretty uniform for everybody, but following Jesus, well, that could look quite different for each of us. Perhaps you would like to take a first step today in following Jesus, seeking him out and asking the question, "You healed and validated that woman. What could you do for me?" Trevor's already mentioned we have a course running in this church called Alpha, which is a great opportunity to get together with other people who are a little bit curious, have food together, and spend some time asking those questions and exploring what God might like to do for you. If that is something you're interested in, do please go and speak to Trevor after the service. Following Jesus, for those of us who are regulars at St. Augustine's, well, that's set to look a little bit different later in the year as Trevor and Lois move on and we experience a waiting time. Perhaps it's a time when God will call us out of our existing comfortable roles within church life and ask us to try something new. The church order, the way things are done, well, perhaps that will change. And we may be called out of our faith-filled but perhaps a little secretive place hidden behind others, to take a more prominent role. Following Jesus is never boring. But a final thought for this morning is, I hope, an encouraging one. The woman was healed when she touched Jesus' clothes. Jesus didn't make a decision to heal the woman. He wasn't responding as he does in other encounters that we read about, where someone cries out to him to heal them, and he chooses to do so. If we come to God in faith, Jesus' default setting is yes. He's worth taking a risk for. He's worth being a rebel for, in order to receive the good gifts that he has for us. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for the woman that we've heard about this morning, with her extraordinary gift of faith. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of healing that you gave to her. Lord, we want to bring before you now anything in our life that we feel we might need healing from. Whether it's a physical thing, whether it's an emotional hurt, something that won't let us go. We want to stretch out our hands to you now, knowing that you are a God who loves to say yes and ask for your healing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are a people here who believe that God wants to heal and transform lives. And what we always do in our services is invite people, if you'd like to receive prayer, we would love to pray with you and for you. And at the end of the service, we'll make that opportunity. There'll be a prayer ministry team here who would love to pray with you and for you. But let's continue in prayer as Margaret comes and leads us in our intercessions.
In our prayers this morning, we should be using our normal response. So when I say, Lord, in your mercy, would you respond, hear our prayer? So let us pray. Creator God, you are the giver of life, and you know us better than we know ourselves. You know when we're hurting, ill, or broken physically, spiritually, and emotionally. When life falls into chaos or despair and we don't know which way to turn. Pour your Holy Spirit upon us today, Lord. Just as the woman in our reading this morning, we believe you are always govern every day of our lives and every happening. So renew and strengthen our faith and courage in you so we might overcome any worries, fears or illnesses we have, as we know nothing is impossible for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So this morning we have an opportunity to come before God, to surrender all our issues before him. As God cares for every bit of us, our whole being, our families, our friends and lives, now, in the quietness of your hearts, take a moment to think of someone or a personal situation to you where you or them are in need of God's help. Something that you would like help with resolving, an answer maybe. Jesus is always sensitive, ready and willing to hear our prayers. And although today we can't physically touch Jesus' robe, we can be touched, comforted and healed by his amazing and never-ending love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we lay our world at your feet, the many countries, cities, towns and communities which require your loving influence and liberating intervention. Bless all those in authority. Give them wisdom to do the right thing. And we pray especially for our Prime Minister and government as they seek to find a solution to the Brexit negotiations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those around the world whose life is a daily struggle, those who have to search for a bed for the night, search for food or seek out clean water, for countries where there is constant war and unrest, for refugees with no country to call their own. Lord, we know you see their needs. Give them a strong faith so their lives may be transformed by your presence within them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, Today we especially remember those for whom this day will seem long and hard, for the lonely, for those in hospital or ill at home, whether in body, mind or spirit, for the hungry and homeless and destitute. We pray your courage and comfort upon them. We also remember those who have died in the faith of Christ and for those families and friends who mourn their passing. May you be their comforter, healer and loving presence. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we'll join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. The words should be on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish and strengthen and settle you in the faith, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen.